Nemoto presents theater for beginners. Harold Pinter, The Menace of Silence. Narrated with Microsoft Azure using the Ava voice. Running time, approximately 8 minutes. In a Harold Pinter play, what isn't said often matters more than what is. A pause can last an eternity. A simple phrase like come in can carry a threat. Pinter's dramatic world is one of everyday banality pierced by sudden menace. He had a word for the peculiar blend of humor and dread in his early plays, comedy of menace. Critics noticed that while you might chuckle at two characters chatting about the weather, you also felt an undefinable tension, as if at any moment, violence might erupt. It's the theatrical equivalent of seeing a shadow move behind a pleasant conversation. Pinter's style is unmistakable. He writes dialogue that mimics how people actually speak, fragmented, repetitive, full of understatement and small talk. His characters say things like, "Not much happening today," when clearly something enormous is looming. They dodge direct answers. And famously, they fall into silences, those Pinter pauses that actors and directors find both daunting and thrilling. In those silences, the audience's imagination rushes in to fill the gap. Is the character afraid?
Scheming?
On the brink of attack? Pinter once described his dialogue as a way to expose the layers beneath speech. The speech we hear is an indication of that which we don't hear. And indeed, his plays are noted for their use of reticence and even silence to convey the substance of a character's thought, which often lies several layers beneath and contradicts a speech. This makes watching Pinter a bit like being a detective. You're always picking up clues, sensing the subtext roiling under the mundane words. His breakout works in the late 1950s, The Room, The Birthday Party, The Dumb Waiter, showcase this. The Birthday Party, 1958, is about a man named Stanley hiding in a seaside boarding house. Two mysterious strangers arrive, ostensibly to take him to Monty. They subject Stanley to a bizarre interrogation and psychological torture during his supposed birthday party. The play moves from goofy domestic scenes to nightmare in a snap, and we never fully learn why or who these men are. That not knowing makes it more chilling. We fill in the blanks with our own anxieties. The Dumb Waiter, 1957, is deceptively simple. Two hitmen wait in a basement for instructions on their next job, passing time with idle chat. Above them, a dumbwaiter, a small service elevator, inexplicably starts delivering food orders, as if some entity upstairs thinks their room is a restaurant. The tension mounts absurdly. By the end, one hitman is ordered to kill the other. The target was him all along. The play's genius is how Pinter uses trivial dialogue and pauses to build suspense until the gut punch climax. Audiences laugh, then gasp. The menace in Pinter often comes from an intruder. Many Pinter plays start with a pair of characters living in a stable, if somewhat odd, situation, and then a stranger arrives who disrupts their role-playing equilibrium. In The Homecoming, 1965, a college professor brings his wife to his working-class London family home. The all-male household, father and sons, subject her to a series of mind games, and by the end, she oddly elects to stay with them and service them, while her husband returns to the U.S. alone, a dark, satirical take on power and sexuality within family. In The Caretaker, 1960, two brothers take in a homeless man, Davies, and offer him a job as a caretaker, but shifting alliances and implicit threats eventually force him out. Pinter doesn't resolve neatly. He leaves questions. Why do the brothers and the caretaker toy with Davies so? Possibly just because they can, highlighting class cruelty or boredom or deeper psychological issues. The ambiguity is key. Pinter remarked that there are no hard distinctions between what is real and what is unreal, nor between true and false. This wasn't just an artistic stance. He believed life was full of unknowns and contradictions, and his art embraced that. Over time, Pinter's menace became overtly political. By the late 1970s and 80s, he was writing short, searing plays directly attacking authoritarian brutality. One for the Road, 1984, features a government interrogator terrorizing a dissident and his family with cordial, chilling small talk before presumably executing them. Mountain Language, 1988, depicts prisoners forbidden to speak their native language, a clear nod to Kurdish oppression in Turkey. The silences in these later plays are the silences enforced by regimes, and the comedy, if any, is jet black. Pinter became an outspoken human rights advocate and critic of imperialism. His 2005 Nobel Prize speech excoriated the US and UK for the Iraq War, using sharp, Pinteresque irony. But even in these explicitly political works, he retained his style. Oblique approaches, psychological pressure, power games through language. He didn't start writing propaganda. He wrote nightmares that felt real. What influenced Pinter to carve this niche?
Partly his background.
He grew up in London's East End, son of a Jewish tailor. As a child during World War II, he experienced the Blitz bombings and also anti-Semitic sentiment in England. The anxiety and sense of lurking threat from those days likely imprinted on him. He was also profoundly influenced by Kafka, the absurd, bureaucratic menace, and Hemingway, the iceberg theory of dialogue, most meaning underwater. As a young man, he acted in repertory theater, which gave him an ear for dialect and timing. When he turned to playwriting, all this merged into something wholly new. People hadn't heard plays like his before, where so much hung in the air unspoken. The term Pinteresque entered the lexicon to describe any situation that's simultaneously comic and ominous. It's a testament to how singular his voice was. Few playwrights get an adjective named after them in their lifetime. Directors relish doing Pinter because the subtext is so rich. Actors at first fear all those pauses, but then often come to love the precision and tension it creates. The unsettling question Pinter poses to us is, how much violence and coercion hide beneath the polite surfaces of daily life? When we ask someone, "How are you?" do we really want the truth? When two people sit in a room exchanging pleasantries, what power moves are quietly at play? Pinter makes us eavesdrop on the uncomfortable silence after the banal statement, the real meaning glinting in an aside or a stammer. He forces us to listen to what we normally tune out. And beyond the personal, he asks a larger question. In a world where speaking out can be dangerous, how complicit are we in oppression when we stay silent? Pinter's own outspokenness late in life suggests he wanted us not to remain in the dark room forever. But first, he masterfully puts us in that room, turns off the lights, and lets our hearts pound at the slightest creak. His drama insists, "Listen, do you hear the menace in the quiet? And if you do, what are you going to do about it?"